Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 to 16. Hallelujah. Let's just pray before we get going. Father, we thank you again for the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher and our guide, the one who instructs us, the one who leads and guides us, the one who uncovers and opens things up. So we look to you and thank you for teaching, instruction, encouragement, correction. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're causing us to grow in you. Hallelujah. I thank you. Thank you for revelation knowledge. And so thank you for grace impartations, truth deposits this morning, that we don't have to leave the same today, but we can leave different because we have received from you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and he, talking about God, he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual or effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So again, we've been talking about what is the church and where do I fit. This last part is about the local church assembly culture. So it has to do with the culture of the local church assembly. And the thing about the culture of the local church assembly is that each local church assembly has a different assignment, but the basics are the same. The culture, there are things that are still constant, and we're going to talk about the constant part, okay? We've got three parts this morning, three points that we're going to touch on, and it's directly from these verses that we've just read this morning. So the first part has to do with the receiving. And that's the part where the Holy Spirit said, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. So this is the receiving part, right? This is what we receive from the ministry gifts for the perfecting of the saints. We are the saints. Say, I'm a saint. Amen. That's who we are, because that's who Jesus made us. When we became new creatures in Christ Jesus, we became the righteousness of God. Right? We were made that way, whether we felt like it, whether we acted like it. We've also been made a saint, whether we feel like it or whether we act like it. I mean, that's who we've been made. So now it's up to us to begin to respond on the outside, put on the outside who we are on the inside. Amen? That's another message. But we are the saints, and so we're the ones that are being perfected. We are the ones that are receiving. Well, the word perfecting, again, means to be completely furnished. Now, we enjoy watching, you know, the HGTV, and we, you know, see income property or and how a lot of these places, they're staged. Once the renovation is done, they stage the place. Why? Because it just, when it's completely furnished, it looks much better. People can come in and go, hey, I can see how, you know, our furniture would fit in here because it's staged. This looks amazing. You know, so now instead of getting, you know, $1,500 a month in this place, now you can get $19,000 or $2,000. Why? Because all of a sudden it's not just empty rooms. They're completely furnished. And there's just something about it when you see it that way. It's like, oh, man, it just, They walk in and they feel like they're at home. Because home is when your house, see, your house is a house and it becomes a home when it's furnished. Right? Once your stuff is in, all of a sudden, okay, now it's home. It was just a house before, but now it's home. Right? Can you see that? Being furnished. So that's what God is doing in us. We, the saints, are being perfected. We're being completely furnished. It also means equipped. Furnished and equipped. So, I mean, let's say you take a half bath and all of a sudden you renovate it into a four piece. There's all of a sudden there's some extra equipment. There's some furnishing in there that wasn't there before. All of a sudden, you've taken it from just a toilet and a sink, and now you've got a nicer toilet, and you've got the sink in a different place, and now you've got a tub and a shower, and then you've got the heated flooring, so now you can walk in on your tiles, and your toes are still nice and warm, regardless of whether it's in the winter or whether it's in the summer, and whether it's in the morning or in the evening. Oh, it's just toasty warm. And so you've got that, then a heated rack, so your towels are nice and warm. See, there's some extra equipment. There's some extra furnishing. It's been added. And so that's what God is doing us. He's completely furnishing us. He's equipping us. Amen? Equipping us. That's what the word perfecting means, equipping. It also means a fitting or a preparing fully. You may have had one of these little round octagon balls or whatever, you know, it had handles on both ends and you could pull it apart and parts fell out. And it had holes all over the place. And each part fit in a hole. There was a star that felt in the star hole. And there was an oval that went in the oval hole. And there's a circle that went in the circle hole. Well, see, those things only fit in one spot. God is making us fit. As we are being equipped, He's causing us to fit. Amen? He's causing us to fit. A fitting. A preparing fully. We're being prepared. And we've been talking about that since December. We've been praying about that. Prepare and preparation. Prepare and preparation. Fully prepared. Equipped. Hallelujah. A fitting. Where do I fit? Hallelujah. This is what the Holy Ghost is doing. This is what the Word of God is doing. This is what He's doing in our lives as we are being perfected. We are being fitted. The ministry gifts are to fully prepare and equip us for ministry or service. The pastor of the local church is the shepherd of that flock. And as the shepherd, the pastor feeds, protects, and leads that flock. So then we can see then every ministry or every area of helps ministry would then do the same thing. Can you see that? It should also produce feeding, protection, and leading its members to Jesus and to success. Our outreaches, the local church outreaches, and however they would all look, they should actually then produce the same thing. Can you see that? It should produce a feeding of the people, a protection, and a leading to Jesus, to success and enjoying victory in every area. There are people that aren't born again. They need peace. They need physical health. They need prosperity. They need peace. They need to know how to walk in love. All these things people need. And in the church, we feed, we protect, we love, and also lead them to Jesus. Leading the flock, leading them to Jesus, leading them, giving direction in regards to the way to go. Amen? Can you see that? That would be part of the local church assembly culture. This is what we're doing, and these are the results we are expecting. Each service or each meeting is to have a purpose. I remember in Brother Hagin's book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, it was one of the things that the Holy Ghost revealed to him, one of the things that he shared with him, is that each service, each meeting needs to have a purpose. You know, so you may have a teaching meeting. You may have a praise and worship meeting. You may have a prayer meeting. You may have a new believers meeting. You may have a believers meeting. You may have an evangelistic meeting. Well, what's the purpose? I mean, if the purpose is a teaching meeting, then there shouldn't be 45 minutes of fellowship and 15 minutes of teaching, right? And if it's a prayer meeting, there ought not to be 45 minutes of teaching and then 15 minutes of prayer. Why? It's a prayer meeting. So what's the purpose? Let's do the purpose. So there might be some teaching to start things off. You might teach for 15 minutes and pray for 45. Why? Because the purpose is prayer. And that teaching would be to just get everyone on the same page. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, and it'll be like a launching pad to go off in prayer. I mean, if it's a teaching meeting, right, then the purpose is to teach. It wouldn't be prayer. It wouldn't be testimonies. It wouldn't be running around the room and shouting and laughing, right? I mean, it's not a camp meeting. And sometimes people think, well, Sunday morning service ought to be a camp meeting. We come home from a conference. We come home from a camp meeting. And it's like, oh, this is what we need to have all the time. Well, no, we would be out of balance if we did that all the time. But as the Holy Ghost leads, we can have running and shouting and dancing services. Amen. But that's not the way that the Sunday morning service will be all the time. Sunday morning service is almost kind of like a Heinz 57 of services. You kind of do a number of different things because that's when most people are coming out. So you may do a couple different things in that, but that's the purpose. And so we would accomplish the purpose, and when we're done, we can go, Lord, did we do what we did? What we did? Yep. Thank you for helping us accomplish our purpose. Glory to God. You told us what to do, and we did it. And so, I mean, we could have healing meetings. Well, the purpose would be healing, right? The purpose wouldn't be about taking up offerings, and it wouldn't be about other things. No. It would be about healing. Let's teach on some healing, and let's pray for people. Glory to God. Or you can have men's meetings and you can have women's meetings. Well, we ought not to get those mixed up, right? What's the purpose? Well, who's in the room? I mean, this is a men's meeting. Let's talk to men. And this is a women's meeting. Let's talk to women, right? And then so purposes, a mentoring meeting, a team meeting, and so on. So I had this funny idea or thought. You know, you get tickets to have a dinner theater. You know what a dinner theater is, right? And so you got your tickets and you're all excited and you're expecting because you've heard they got awesome meals. And so you have a basic lunch. And you don't even have a snack in the afternoon because you're getting ready for the dinner theater. And you show up and you hand your ticket in and you walk in and you see this big billboard sign in there that says dinner theater. But then it's got this little thing in between and handwritten and it says time, T-I-M-E. And then it says, we ran out of food. So it's not a dinner theater anymore. It's a dinner time theater. Well, we don't want a dinner time theater, right? The purpose is to eat and watch the theater, right? It's not we're just here at dinner time. We want to eat and watch. So, you know, it's accomplishing the purpose. We want to ask for our money back. I don't want to just see a theater. I wanted to get fed. I'm hungry. You know, so it's not a dinner time theater, it's a dinner theater. And so every service, every meeting and so on needs to have a purpose. Hallelujah. God has a purpose. I mean, we're not just showing up to do something. Let's just get together, do something. I mean, we can do that, but there are meetings that are specifically on purpose. Amen. Let's see. Each of these meetings and services are to produce perfecting, not just so we can go home and feel good about ourselves. You know, there's a lot of people in the church. So there's a lot of people, and a lot of people that go to church who just want to hear what they want to hear. They're not there to learn. They're not there to be perfected. They're not there to be encouraged or corrected. They're there because they have what the Bible calls itching ears. Yeah. Just tell me I'm doing good. Just tell me it's going to be fine. Just tell me God loves me and I'll go home and we've done our duty and we won't feel guilty. But that's not what church is about. That's not what the local church assembly is about. Amen. It's not just scratching people's itchy ears. The purpose or the result of these meetings and services are for the perfecting of the saints. Why? So that the saints are equipped to serve. Serve God first and foremost, right? And what's the reason or what's the purpose or why do we come to church? I mean, part of it is to be equipped so we can serve God. I tell you what, when I went to church, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost in the church we were going to, I found out healing is the will of God. I got excited because now I'm serving God and he's letting me know I can be healthy and whole. He let me know that he's always causes me to triumph and thanks be to God who gives me the victory. All of a sudden, these situations and circumstances as a defeated teenager, Christian teenager, all of a sudden I found I've got victory in these areas. And I began to stand up. I began to stand up in who I was in Christ. See, I began to learn these things at my local church so I could serve God. Amen? Serving Him. And I found out about worshiping God and praying in other tongues. And I'd go home and I'd kneel at my bed and I'd begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in other tongues. And God began to lead and guide and direct me. I began to worship God and praise Him. Hallelujah. And the presence of God would fill. The presence of God would fill my life. The presence of God would fill my room. I tell you what, it's good. Hallelujah. And these are things I learned. I learned equipping for service. I'm being equipped so I can serve God. And then not only that, all of a sudden I was being equipped so I could serve others. I got involved. I mean, we've been involved in the local church for decades. Helping out, being a blessing, helping others, serving, loving. Glory to God. Serving God and serving others. Luke chapter 4. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Very interesting scripture. Luke chapter 4. Jesus finished speaking in the synagogue in Capernaum, steps out the door, walks out to the right, walks down the street to Peter's house. And Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Verse 38. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother, Luke 4, verse 38. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Hallelujah. But look at the last phrase. And immediately she arose and served them. Immediately she arose and served them or ministered to them. And so one of the things I see here is that ministry or service was a grateful result of being helped by Jesus. It's just a result. What has Jesus done for us? Well, part of the next step is, how can we then serve Him? How can we be a blessing to Him? Grateful. We're grateful for what He's done for us. And now service and ministry is a result of that. Peter's mother-in-law, the fever left her. And it wasn't just a little fever. It was a very dangerous fever. Life-threatening fever. And she was healed, and immediately she got up and she ministered and served them. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 to 3 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren or family, so we're brethren, actually, it can be translated from the same womb. So I actually prefer family because it's not just brothers. Sometimes it just refers to brothers, but it refers to all of us, the brothers and sisters. So it's family. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, or family, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's our reasonable service. And then he goes on to say, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, renewing our mind with the Word causes us to demonstrate, causes us to live, to enjoy, and to reveal things. Okay? The will of God. We're demonstrating the will of God. So, His perfect, His good, His acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, these are not necessarily levels. Because when the Bible says, for the Lord is good, it doesn't mean, you know, He's all right. He's pretty good. You know, He's half decent. No, when the Bible says the Lord is good, it means He's good. There is nothing higher than good. The guy came to Jesus and said, good master. And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. You know, so sometimes we have this Sears good, better, best idea. This is not talking about seers. This is not talking about good, better, best. When he said when good, you know, good is 10, bad is 0. We can be anywhere in between. And then acceptable. The opposite of acceptable is unacceptable. And we can be anywhere in between. Perfect and imperfect. Right? So we've got this high level, 10, of good, acceptable, and perfect. Remember the Bible talks about that in Philippians chapter 4 about the offering, that it was well-pleasing, it was acceptable, and God said it smelt wonderful. Ah, it was acceptable. Hallelujah. It wasn't unacceptable, it was acceptable. And so as we're walking in the light that we have, see, and that's the thing, is are we walking in the perfect will of God? Well, the issue is, are we walking in the light that we have? Then we're walking the best we can. Walking in the light we have. Doing what we're told to do. Amen? We're obeying Him. We are willing and obedient. So we are walking in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We are moving in that direction. And can it get better? It can absolutely get better. We're walking in the light that we have. And so he says, as we're doing this, as our minds are being renewed with the Word of God, and we are being a doer of that Word, all of a sudden our lives are transformed. They're being changed. It's this metamorphosis that's going on. There's this changing, this transformation that happens. Then all of a sudden we begin to prove, which is just another word that says demonstrate. To prove or demonstrate. We begin to demonstrate. People can look at us and go, that's good. That's acceptable. God accepts that. God, that's the perfect will of God. We begin to prove. We begin to demonstrate the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. We begin to show it. And Jesus did that. He walked around. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? So renewing our mind with the Word of God and being a doer of that Word causes us to demonstrate, to live, to enjoy, and to reveal God's will. And this perfecting, see this perfecting, and that's what having our minds renewed with the Word of God. I mean, part of it comes through the local church assembly, and part of it is our studying and our feeding on the Word outside of the assembly. But it all has to do with our working together with Him as we study, as we spend time in His presence, as we learn and receive from Him. Both at the local church assembly and in our own personal study life, the Bible says that we are being perfected. And that perfecting radically changes our life and those around us. That's the transformation. See, all of a sudden, Saul becomes Paul. Saul became Paul. David became king. Joseph made it wherever he went, but he rose second in command. Daniel outlived 3 different governments. He worked for Nebuchadnezzar and was such influential with Nebuchadnezzar that when, you know, I remember who came in, the Medes and the Persians. So we had Cyrus and then we had Darius, or the other way around. But he worked for 3 different kings. He was influential and a blessing to each and every one of them. As their administrations took over, they continued to have Daniel work with them. His life changed. Daniel. Then we read about last week, we read about Lydia. How her and her family got baptized, got born again, just from a women's prayer meeting. And Paul was preaching. It affected her and her whole family. Then we talked about Stephen and Philip, how they were involved and they were working in their local church assembly. And because they were working and they were involved and they were men of faith and men of strength, men of the Spirit, that they were there. And so when another opportunity opened up, then they were picked for that. And then as they were faithful there, then all of a sudden the Lord moved them out. Philip was an evangelist to where he was transported by the Spirit even. Wow. That's exciting. And Stephen, preached and demonstrated the Word of God and was stoned. His face shone as they were lying about him in court. And as they stoned him, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Heavens opened up and he saw him. He said, I see the Son standing at the right hand of the Father. And was just gone. He didn't feel those stones. He was gone. And because he made this prayer, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. The guy who's holding the coats, authorizing the stoning, when he started making his trip to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him. And when he got off the ground, when he got up, he was born again. Amen? And that's where we started. Saul became Paul. Glory to God. So this perfecting radically changes our life and those around us. It's not just going to church. It's not just a community center. It's so much bigger. Amen? So much bigger than just, well, this is just what we do Sunday mornings. No. We're talking about change. We're talking about God's plan and His will. We're talking about lives at stake that we can help. Hallelujah. Number two. So number one was receiving the perfecting. Number one, the receiving for the perfecting of the saints. And then number two is the giving part. And what's the giving part? Well, that's the second part. Is so that they, the saints, can do the work of the ministry. What does, again, the word work mean? Well, the word work means to enact. A deed or thing done. Again, enact a deed or a thing done. The word ministry, so the work of the ministry. The ministry means service, ministering, especially of those who execute the commands of others. Administration and administering help to others. And then last week we talked about the business. The apostles talked about the business of the food truck. Remember the business of serving tables. Well, in the Greek, the word serving tables is the word deacon or diakonos, and it's where we get the word deacon from. We thought deacons were the people that were in charge, but the deacons are the one is the helps ministry. The deacons are the one who are influencing and making the difference. Hallelujah. They're out there serving tables. They're out there. And we read the whole list here. And there's this whole list. This is the helps ministry. The deacons in the church. The service of those who prepare and present food. This is the helps ministry in action through the local church assembly. Like what? Like the ushering. The greeting. The diaper changers. No, not the diaper changers. Yeah, the diaper changers too. Hallelujah. It's a ministry. If we just think it's changing diapers, then we miss the whole thing. It's a ministry, glory to God. The floor sweepers, the vacuumers, the singers, the bulletin folders, the grass cutters, the sound and video operators, the toilet cleaners. No, not the toilet cleaners. Yeah, the toilet cleaners too. Hallelujah. No, I want to just stand and sing. You know, I just want to stand and preach. Well, it's all these things. Hallelujah. I thought ministry was just that. No, ministry is all of it. Hallelujah. It's the offering counters. It's the prayers, glory to God. The teachers. It's the friends. How can a friend be a ministry? Yes, a friend can be a ministry. Glory to God.
Yes.
A friend. Someone who shakes our hands, loves on us, and says, I'm glad you're here. Good morning. How was your week? Tell me about it. You know what? Can we pray for you? How can we help? Right? We sure appreciate you. A friend. Parking lot attendants. And every other area of ministry the local church assembly has to bless others. Glory to God. This is the deacons. This is the helps ministry. This is the giving part. Matthew chapter 10 verse 8. Jesus said this. He that we have freely received, so freely give. Amen. Matthew 10 verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. Glory to God. We do not do this in our own strength or our own ability, but we do this by the grace and the supernatural power of God. We are being equipped in the natural and in the supernatural, because it's not something we just do in the natural. Because everything about the local church assembly is supernatural. Because it has to do, we are the body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to understand that things about our body is not just physical, but it has to do with the supernatural. I remember years ago, and I think as a teenager, I remember hearing that sometimes when we get physically tired and down, that it's not just a physical tiredness. It's not just a physical downness. It's not just a physical weakness. But it has to do with our spirit. Because our spirit, separated from our body, causes our body to die. Right? When our spirit leaves, our body goes down. So, as we're strong in spirit, it infuses our physical body. So not all the time being tired has to do with physical symptoms or a physical answer. Sometimes our being tired has to do with our spirit. How have we been spending time in the Word? How have we been spending time in prayer? How have we been spending time with the Lord? How have we been drawing from Him? How did Moses spend 40 days and 40 nights on the top of that mountain and then caught up into the glory and not get tired? And he's older. He's spending time in the presence of God. How is Elijah able to fed by the ravens and then all of a sudden take a 40-day trip and not eat? He got supernatural water and he got supernatural food. That there was more to it than just the physical food. There was a supernatural spiritual event to it. And that caused his physical body to receive strength. Amen? So the giving, we do not just do these things in our own strength and our own ability, but we do these things by the grace of God, the supernatural power of God. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2 lets us see, where's our faith supposed to be? Where's our faith? Do we just put our faith in the natural things? Can we just be taught enough and then we've got it made? But no. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, the Apostle Paul says this, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." I'm going to read it out of the King James because "my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? "So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Our wisdom is not to stand, our faith is not to be in the wisdom of men. It's not to be in just the natural, but we're to put our faith in the supernatural, the Spirit of God, the power of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So just a few chapters over. Something very interesting here. Let's start verses 1 to 5. It says, "Follow after charity," or agape, love, "and desire, earnestly desire, covet after," it says in chapter 12, "and desire spiritual gifts." Again, gifts is italicized, so it's not in the original Greek. The word spiritual is plural. It's spirituals or spiritual things. And I like the way Brother Hagin said it, things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. So follow after charity, love, and desire spiritual things or things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. But rather, or in a greater degree that you may prophesy. Because he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that speaks, or he that prophesies, speaks unto men to edification. Say edification.
Edification.
Edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. So I guess it depends who you're talking to. Right? If you want to edify yourself, talk in tongues. If you want to edify others, we can prophesy. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you would prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except, say except.
Except.
Right. See, except he interpreted that the church may be edified. So when it comes to the church, we need to be speaking in our known language so the church can be edified. God's interested in the church being edified. See this, verse 12. Even so, you, for as much as you are zealous of spirituals, or things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost, seek that you may excel to or for the edifying of the church. Verse 17. For you verily give us thanks well, but the other is not edified. God is interested in edified. Another one. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, that when you come together, every one of you has a psalm and has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Listen, let all things be done unto edifying. God is interested in the edifying of the church. He's interested in the church receiving edification. Amen? Amen? So this is now we move on to number three. So number one is the receiving, and that is for the perfecting of the saints. Number two is the giving, and that's so the saints can do the work of the ministry. And number three is the result. And what is the result? This causes the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify means the act of building. Building up or edification. But not only the act of building, but it also means the building itself. A building, the thing built, an edifice. So the edification, the edifying, that causes the edifying of the body of Christ, we are building an edifice. What's an edifice? A superstructure.
Yeah.
Called the body of Christ, made up of many local church assemblies. And so then, we've already read this before, Ephesians 2, verses 20 to 22, says, the building fitly framed together grows. The building fitly framed together grows. So, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 in the Amplified, we read this in the King James, or the New King James, at the beginning of the service, but now in the Amplified it says, for because of him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, closely joined and fitly knit together. So it's because of him that we are being joined and fit together. Because of him. He's the one who's fitting and joining us together. By the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied. When each part, with power adapted to its need. See, that's the power. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing of God. As each part, by the power that it needs, the power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions. As each part, by the grace and power of God, is doing its part, is doing its function, working properly, what happens? We grow up to full maturity, building itself up in love. So, what I see here is Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing is the source of each part's work. Amen? We depend on him. He is our source. Each part is equipped for a job, a function, and a special work. Each part affects the others. There's teamwork. When I played basketball, when I played volleyball, we were involved in teamwork. Now, it's funny. I remember a friend talking about how when his kids were smaller and they were playing soccer, they just got into soccer. And what happens is you've got this big pile of kids that just do this. And they chase the ball and the ball squirts out and the whole pile goes. And then they get around the ball and the ball squirts out and they all just, there's no passing, there's no defense, there's no forwards. It's just the big pile of kids just running around like this. You know, I mean, where's the teamwork? There is no teamwork because they haven't learned. But then as they grow and as they're taught, and so, you know, when you play volleyball and there's six people on a team and each person has a place, has a part to play. And if you get out of your place, I like it. I like serving the ball in between two or three people because then it hits the ground and they look at one another and go, oh, I thought you had it. No, I thought you had it. Okay. You know, okay. Whose spot is that? You know? Or you hit the baseball out between, you know, center and right. You just center and left. You just hit it out there in the middle, and the two people are running. And so you learn as you're being trained. All of a sudden, you need to call. You call it yours. If it's yours, you call it. And if you called it, don't stop and look at the other person. You called it. What are you looking at me for? I'm here just to help out in case you drop it. I mean. I'm support. You called it, it's yours. Take it. You know? Teamwork. Well, who's gonna smash the ball? Well, you get it to the setter, and the setter will set whoever up. And they've already got figured out where are we going? We're going high setter, we're going low setter, we're going fast. All of a sudden, who are we bumping to? We know who we're bumping to. Don't bump it to the person who's not setting. You got teamwork. And as you do your teamwork, and as each person does their part, you've got a smooth, working, functioning team that all of a sudden you can win lots because everyone knows their part and their play. And as you rotate, all of a sudden, if you're not the center, but you're in the center, all of a sudden, who are we switching with? Well, I switch with him. All of a sudden, okay, I switch with him. Center, setter gets it in the middle. They set because what? I'm tall. So I'm not supposed to be setter. I'm the tall guy. I'm the one that gets smashes or whatever. So all of a sudden, there's strategy. Football players. Who's offense? Who's defense? Who's guarding the quarterback? Who's running? You know what? There's all these things. Teamwork. Each part affects the others. Teamwork. There's a proper design. You know, we have engines in our vehicles and they work well. Many parts. Many parts. But as you put the parts together, they work and they function perfectly together, and it creates something great. And it's got lots of holes, too. You know, there's a hole for gas, and there's a hole for oil, and there's a hole for antifreeze, and there's a hole for brake fluid. You don't get the holes mixed up. You keep putting the proper stuff in the proper hole, right? Things work together. Proper design. And then I remember in junior high, this is my junior high badminton racket. It's a wonderful badminton racket. I enjoyed it. And then apparently my brother in elementary school must have been taking badminton. Against my wishes, I was commanded to let him borrow this by my parents. I liked my badminton racket. And my brother took it to school because apparently they must have been taking badminton. And so he, you notice it's not completely oval or round anymore. It's dented right there. And if you look closer, there's dents. See dent? Dent. And there's scratches. And when I got it back, there was a string even. Yeah, forgive. There was a string or two even broken. Because he thought it would be cool to see how far rocks could fly. And so he's pegging rocks with a badminton racket. My badminton racket. And so I had to get it partly restrung. But you see, there's a proper design A badminton racket is designed to hit birdies. Not flying birdies outside, but birdies inside. And so that was my little story about there. Proper design. So there's a design for things, a proper design. And when we use things based on their purpose, there's great things. Each part affects the others. Can you see that? You hit birdies with this, it works great. You hit rocks with it, it breaks strings. All of a sudden, its purpose is now hindered. And so in the local church, if we do things outside of purpose, then it can hinder us and it can hinder others. We don't want to do that. There's proper purpose. As we're in our place, as we're functioning and doing our part, it then becomes a blessing to others. Amen? Proper purpose. Keep the right fluids in the right holes in the engine, and it will serve and it'll do great things. Hallelujah. Love, say love. Say love.
Love.
Love is the foundation and the motivation for the body and the working of each part together. Do you notice at the end of chapter, verse 16 of chapter 4? It says, growing up to full maturity, building itself up in love. The church building itself up in love. This edification comes, and the foundation and the motivation is love. Working together, love is the foundation and motivation of the body and the working of each part together. Together. Hallelujah. So, in conclusion, we've got three things that we've been talking over the last, 6 weeks. The culture of the local church assembly is these three things. Learning. Number one, learning. It has to do with personal development. Our developing ourselves. Amen. Our growing. Learning. Mm-hmm. Learning. Right? For the perfecting of the saints, the receiving. We could use the word learning. Our learning. And then number two is the doing. We call that giving, or so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. That's the doing part. The doing, serving God and others on teams. And then number three, building. And we said that the third part was results, and that is that the causes the edifying of the body of Christ. The what? The building. Learning, doing, and building. Building, increase and growth and fulfillment. So that has to do with the building part. So that's our three, the culture of the local church assembly. Learning, doing, and building. The ministry of the church takes people, money, and the power of God. As each part cheerfully and lovingly plays its part, there is an increase and growth, all for the glory of God. Increase and growth, all for His glory. Amen? Hallelujah.